Take your Bibles this morning. We're going to talk about a Bible doctrine this morning of justification. Justification. And we're going to be in Romans 3 and then Romans 4. Then we're going to jump around a little bit. But we'll just see what the Bible says about being justified. How can a man be justified before God? We have a sinful nature. And whenever we sin, and now how are we going to be just before God? That's a good question, because over in Ezekiel 33:13, he said, if a man stays righteous and he looks to his righteousness, and he stays righteous, but he commits one iniquity, just one, for that one iniquity he shall perish, and all his righteousnesses will not be remembered. That sounds very cruel, don't it? From the casual observer, that sounds like a cruel type of justice. Just one, you do just one thing wrong, and you've separated yourself from God and his holiness. And how do you get around that? Well, that's been the quandary of the ages, except for God. God sent his only begotten Son so that we might be reconciled to him. And it's through him that we find justification. Romans 3:20. The Bible says, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. See, the law wasn't given to make man holy. It was given to reveal man's sinful nature to him. Paul said, without the law, I would not known sin, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. If you're driving down the road and you're doing 105 miles an hour, you see a speed limit that says 55, you've figured out now that you've violated the law. I know years ago on the Autobahn, I was told, in Germany, you could ride as fast as you wanted to. They had those Maseratis and all those sports cars that do 150 or 60 miles an hour. Where there's no law, then the sin isn't imputed. It says, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law just showed the Jew, here's where God is. When you violate that, you've transgressed the law. Sin is any transgression of the law. But now it says in verse 21, the righteousness of God without the law. Now notice it says the righteousness of God. We're looking at God's righteousness. That's what we have to attain to, in order to have fellowship with God. Adam lost that. When Adam sinned, God withdrew his spirit from Adam. That image of God that was put in Adam when Adam was created. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. That spirit needs to be renewed in the image of God. It says now, but now in verse 21, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Now that's talking the righteousness of God without keeping the law, and that comes through Christ. We'll see here in verse 22, it says, even the righteousness of God, watch it, which is by faith. Now notice that next word. It don't say by faith in Jesus Christ or by faith on Jesus Christ. It says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. He was faithful. He's the one that kept the law and kept every jot and tittle of the law. He was the one that did what we couldn't do. And now it's because of him, it says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, watch it, unto all. And upon all them that believe. Wow. For there is no difference, for all have sinned, it says, and come short of the glory of God. So it's upon all that believe. Bible says Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. That's goes over into the doctrine of imputation, where something is accounted to you, is counted to you by doing something. When you believe in Jesus Christ, then God's righteousness is counted to you. And that's the righteousness of God. It's never our own righteousness. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing, there it is, renewing of the Holy Ghost. He renewed what Adam lost when he sinned. So that's renewed in you the moment that you are placed in Christ. Your righteousness now is found in Christ, not in all the wonderful, wonderful things that you do. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely. Now, how is it free? It tells how you got it freely. It said being justified freely by his grace. Watch it. Here's how it was free to you, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Wasn't free to him. He had to earn it for you. He had to learn obedience, even the obedience of the cross. He died in your place. Without sin. He was without sin. He took on the sin of the world. The Bible says he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Romans 4:2 says, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. You can live a good, clean life and you can be justified before men. I've heard a lot of folks, man, that fellow was a good man. Oh, she was a good, godly woman. But usually that person knows that they're saved when they get alone with God, that they've got some issues. They've got some sin issues between them and God. Every human being has a secret life. You have a secret life that I don't know about. None of my business. Between you and the Lord. You know many of your faults. Some of them you may not know. What was it that Job said, forgive me, or David, my secret faults? A lot of our faults might be secret to us and be known by others. But we have some that is known only between us and God. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. He couldn't glory before God. He said, well, God, you see what I did? Abraham knew better, and God knew better. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God. I'm in Romans 4:3. He believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And that's the picture of our saving faith through Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's what that verse said. If you could get there by the law, you'd have something to glory about. Well, well, St. Peter, I'm here. I finally made it. Bet you guys are sure glad to see me as good as I was. I don't know what you're going to do without me down there on earth. I don't know who's going to fill my shoes. That's a religious crowd there. Now to him that worketh, it says in verse 4, is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. That's that guy trying to earn his way to heaven by being good. Religion's full of that. That's what religion is, trying to impress God, trying to be good and do our best. On my honor, I will do my best. But that falls short of God's righteousness. It always is going to. But to him that worketh not, but instead of that, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. There's that justification. Unto whom, watch it, but to him that justifieth the ungodly, watch it, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. And for a Christian that's really trying, it's hard to swallow the fact that others around you that aren't living near as close to the cross, or in your mind, as they aren't living near as close as you are, it's hard to swallow that they're going to heaven the same way you are. That hooker gets to heaven the same way that the preacher does. That's hard to swallow. That guttermost lowlife down on the corner gets to heaven the same way you do. Because without God's grace, without it being a gift, you wouldn't make it either. Now, I'm not talking about the rewards. God wants you to live right. We are created unto God, unto good works, the Bible says. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are created unto good works, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We should do that. And what I read early on, there was an ought in there somewhere. And we ought to live right. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, you need to do what you ought to do. Most of us know what we ought to do. We just don't do it a lot of times. Even as David described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Well, I sinned, I know of sin. God, I'm giving it to you. I've trusted Jesus Christ, so that sin is imputed to his sacrificial work, his payment, his sacrifice in my behalf. In my place, for me. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified, how? By faith. That's where our justification comes. By faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I talked to a person yesterday about the love of God being a fruit of the Spirit. It's not the lusty type love that is conjured up in the natural man. The love that comes from God is a fruit of the Spirit. Got to learn the separation between the two. So salvation is given men by God's grace. The Bible says repentance toward God. You come to yourself. For me, it wasn't as much as what I had done, because the list was so long. It was for who I was. I repented for what I am. I repented for the sinner that I was. God, I'm sorry. I can't make it on my own. I know I'm a mess. Repentance toward God, and it's between you and God. Not between you and your neighbor. Well, I'm sorry, buddy, that I'm sorry my dog killed your cat. And the guy said, well, I'm sorry my cat's got scratched up your garden, you know, and going. That's not the type of repentance. It's between you and God. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Those Old Testament saints had that first part down, repentance toward God. But Jesus Christ hadn't showed up yet. That's why they went to paradise. Sins hadn't been paid for yet. When he showed up, then he shows up in the heart of the earth, presents his credentials, preached to the captives in prison, preached the gospel to the dead. They repented. They'd already repented toward God, but they, at that point, placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation then opens the door to a whole bunch of graceful and wonderful acts of God in your behalf. A lot of perks and benefits to those who believe. Nothing more satisfying to me to know, in spite of what I am outside of God's grace, in spite of what I am outside of the new birth, in spite of what the natural man in me is capable of, I'm justified by a precious Savior who paid it all in my place. You know, nothing, I guess, more wonderful than a sinner to know that he's justified with God. Job is the one who said, should a man be justified with God? In Job 9:2, he said that. And he was talking about the problem of the ages. That's been the problem since Adam and Eve. And it's puzzled mankind. Mankind thinks, well, if we can justify ourselves one with another. And that's where man is today. They've gone about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, which is by faith. Romans 1:19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it to them. See, man has a sense of sin. Those Jews, Lord said, hey, the word was nigh thee, even at thy mouth. You could have known if you wanted to, you didn't want to. That may be the reason you'll have missionaries in all those remote countries and rarely win a soul to Christ. But if those folks want to know about God, if they seek God from a pure heart, God will have a man there. Cornelius, God sent him to Peter. And Peter preached the gospel to him. And God puts a conscience in man as well as the witness of creation. Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Wow. Martin Luther, when he separated himself from the Catholic Church, man, what an outlandish thing to do. He had to be an incredible man, have incredible strength and guts and courage to do that. And he saw that man was justified by faith. I'm not justified by living a good life, because somewhere along the line I'm going to transgress God's law. So what is justification? And that justification by faith, Martin Luther, is a war cry of the Reformation. in the 1500s. Now, the Baptists were not part of the Reformation. There was the Baptists, the old Anabaptists and the Waltonses, and that early church never were part of the Reformation. There was a remnant of Bible believers all the way from the cross. So a lot of times you'll have on a form Protestant, Catholic, Protestant, or Jew, whatever. Baptists really aren't Protestants. We're Baptist. Our history goes way back. In fact, Phil Stringer is one of the brightest men on the history of the Baptist. He's going to be with us next Wednesday night. He had a night open. He's going to be joining us next Wednesday night, Dr. Phil Stringer. Really smart about the book, a great defender, one of the great defenders of the King James Bible. All right, where was I? What is justification? It's the act of God. To be justified, it takes the justifier to justify you. Justification is the act of God, the act of a judge whereby those who put their faith in Christ are declared righteous in his eyes. And because of that judicial declaration, you can be free of guilt. Free of guilt. That's wild. Free of guilt and freed from the punishment of what you did. That's justification. Romans 4:5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Deuteronomy 25 talks about it's to legally declare innocent or righteous. Deuteronomy 25:1. If there be a controversy between men and they come into judgment, unto judgment, that the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. Psalm 32:2, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity and whose spirit there is no guile. God gives you his righteousness. Remember what it said about Jesus Christ? The Bible said the law is pure and it's holy. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill the law. He fulfilled the law by meeting every demand of the law. And it says, for Christ is the end of righteousness. Christ became the end of righteousness for all that believe. We no longer get our righteousness from the law, but from Jesus Christ. The way that's worded, he became the end of the law for righteousness. Old Testament Jews, they were declared righteous when they kept the law. They kept the law and they kept the statutes and ordinances, the sacrifices. They brought two turtle doves or a pigeon or whatever it was, whatever the law, the priest demanded in the law of Moses, the Levitic law. And when they did that, God considered them righteous. They were righteous in God's eyes. They weren't sinless, but God considered them blameless. But then when Jesus Christ paid that sin debt, you know, in the Old Testament, when they did those sacrifices, sins were covered, but they weren't paid for. But Christ became the end of the law for righteousness. Not the end of the law. He fulfilled the law. But he, as far as righteousness goes, he became the end of the law for all that believe. I'm not under the law. I'm under grace because of what Jesus Christ did in my place. Wow. Justified. Be it known unto you, therefore, Acts 13:38, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Watch it in verse 39. And by him all that believe are justified from all things. Wow. Man, that's a big one. I'm just, God, you don't know what I did. He said, you're justified from all things. Really? Man, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Justified from all things. That's incredible. Man, how is the religious crowd going to get around that? Well, they try. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things. Watch it. From which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, a lot of folks stop there. It says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, you have that daily judgment of God. When you step out in the flesh, God will whip you and bring you back in line. But when you face your Savior, you're pure and holy just as God sees you in Christ. Our lives are hid in Christ with God. We're in Christ. The sinfulness of our lives is hid. God sees me. He sees the righteousness of his precious Son, Jesus Christ. God sees a believer as without sin and guilt, for God sees us in Christ. Christ's righteousness is imputed, reckoned, given to us. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. James 2:23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God and was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now, from the moment that you trust Christ and that your soul is sealed until the day of redemption, you're justified before God. Now, you may need to be forgiven. God may have to give you a whipping along the way and to bring you back in line. But they're two separate people. That new creature whose life is hid with God. Man, what a blessed thing. How can God justify the guilty? He does it by grace, being justified freely by his grace. In Romans 3:24, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You're redeemed. Wow. And it comes through faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are justified for faith. God does not give us justification because of our faithfulness in living a clean life. He gives us our justification by placing our faith in the one who did live a holy, pure, clean, spotless, faultless, without spot or without blemish life, Jesus Christ. That's my hope today. Not in me. I fail God every day. But Christ didn't fail at anything. Didn't fail at anything. Not by works of the law. You don't be justified by the works of the law. Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Justification is possible because of the blood of Jesus Christ. What he did. Not what we did. We don't deserve it. We don't have it coming to us. You know, Webster defines grace as the unmerited favor of God. It's not who we are. We become the object of his love. He created us and he loves us. And we become the object of his love to the extent that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. So it isn't your goodness that gets you to heaven. It's the goodness of Jesus Christ. Much of religion misses that. They think, well, if we work hard enough, we do our best to keep all the commandments, we do all these wonderful good things, then we're going to be okay. Don't work that way. I dealt with a man a few years ago about his salvation, and he said, Tom, I don't know that I've ever done anything bad enough to go to hell for. See, that's his own set of rules. It's not God's rule. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 5:9, much more than now, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us. He took on our sin. He had that heavy weight. The only ground and basis that God can have to declare a guilty person not guilty is for that guilt to be placed on another. And that was your precious Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, which taketh away the sin of the world. He took our place, our guilt. And there was a thing called transference that occurred. In the Old Testament, those priests would put their hands on that sacrificial lamb, and the sins of the people were transferred to that lamb, and the innocence of that lamb was transferred back to the people. That's what happens with us. The sweetness and innocence of Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of the law, is transferred back and accounted to us as he took on our sin, my sin, your sin. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Romans 4:5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's way. Justified. If you've trusted Christ this morning, you're justified in the eyes of God. What a wonderful doctrine. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for so great a salvation, Lord. Thank you for paying the price that I could never pay, Lord. Thank you for suffering for my sins. Lord, thank you that you had power over sin and over the grave, power over death, Lord. And thank you that you rose from the grave and you're alive, alive forevermore, Lord. And because you live, all those who trust you live also. Thank you, Lord, for that life. Be with us today. Be with the worship service. Give me unction to preach. Give us teachable spirits, reachable spirits, reachable hearts today. And Lord, work a work that only you can do in your people today and all those who will by faith come to you for salvation. All this we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.